Hello and welcome to Normal Boring Free Birth for Normal Boring People with Victoria and Leonie. We're here to celebrate, share and explore everyday free birth stories from normal people like you.
If you have a free birth story you would love to share, you can get in touch by sending a DM to our Instagram page at Normal Boring Free Birth or email us at normalboringfreebirth@outlook.com.
Before we welcome today's guest, I just wanted to pop on here and say thank you. Thank you so, so much to everyone who's been listening to these episodes, commenting on our posts and sharing in your stories. It really helps us get the word out. It's been helping other people find the podcast. We massively appreciate it. Thank you. Also, I just want to let you know about a couple of exciting things that Leonie and I have on the go that you might be interested in. So Leonie has got a regular course called Navigating Officialdom. Now this is for people who are planning to have a free birth based in the UK or for doula supporting clients who are going to free birth. She's really going to guide you through how the system works, how you can make the choices that are right for you, and just give you so much information that will really support you on your free birthing journey. Navigating Officialdom usually happens most months. Check out Leonie's page at birthwise.withleonie for further details of how to book and when her next dates are. And are you preparing to give birth at home but you're not sure where to start? Well, check out my course, Homegrown. Maybe you're a bit unsure about what your options are. Maybe you're a bit curious about free birth and you just want to know more. Or perhaps your partner isn't that happy with your decision to give birth at home and you want to prepare together. I go through the research, the statistics and the physiology of birth and look at how we can best support that process. Maybe you have fears around giving birth at home and you want to explore these. Or maybe you just want help connecting to your intuition, connecting to how you feel in your body and how your baby feels to you. Maybe you're looking for some tips and advice on pain relief techniques when you're giving birth at home. We explore this all within the course. Homegrown contains all the resources and information that I really found so beneficial when preparing for my home birth. So go to my profile, check out the link and start preparing now.
And in today's episode, we are talking to Mika from Canada, and she shares her story from home birth to free birth. Mika's also a birth worker, so we get to hear an insight into her amazing birth work in Canada, and it's just such a great story. All right, let's listen to Mika. Hi, Mika. Thank you so much for coming on to share your story. Would you like to introduce yourself for everybody?
Hi, okay, sure. Hi. I'm Mika, or Anna Mika is my full name. I live in Powell River in Canada. It's also called Cathet for the indigenous name of it. I live in a really rural town, so it's kind of sparked me into the whole rebirth thing because there's not home birth offered right now. So yeah, there's that. And I have an Instagram called Take Your Birth by Storm. I kind of started it in the summertime and I didn't know what would come of it, but apparently I'm pretty darn passionate. So
yeah, you are.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. I love your Instagram. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm so excited to meet up with you guys. It's been a long time of being like, oh man, I love them so much. And I just love your podcast. It really resonated because it just makes it part of life, you know. It's not this crazy dramatic thing, it's just a normal day, but you know, an awesome normal day.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Not downplaying it, just normalizing it.
Yeah, brilliant. And we love your Instagram account. It's been so nice chatting with you in DMs, finally getting to see your face. And yeah, where would you like to start your story? Where does it begin for you?
I think it begins, it's kind of hard to say. I kind of realized how it is hard to say where exactly it began, but I have some friends who were midwives at the time, and I was talking with them and it kind of got me interested in doula stuff. So I decided I would take my Dona doula course online because, you know, I wasn't really into traveling around to take an in-person course. So I did that. And I got a few, you know, free home births in, which was really great. And I actually was pregnant with my first at the time that I started doing home birth. So like,
oh,
being,
wow.
Or, yeah, I didn't know it then, but I was already pregnant when I was starting attending birth. So it was kind of cool.
Yeah,
I knew by my second birth that I was pregnant, and that it was really cool having. I think I attended three births as a doula before my own, and they were all at home. So I was really happy to have those experiences sort of before my own.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, amazing. So what sparked the interest in the beginning then? Were you just birth fascinated anyway before?
Yeah, I was always kind of fascinated. And I honestly did used to be one of those people who was like, oh, yeah, I'd rather not go through all that. I'll just cut me open. But yeah, I think it just slowly, I was around people who, yeah, we're sort of talking about it more, and it just sparked my interest. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to just give it a go and we'll try this out. So yeah, that's sort of how it started, I suppose. And that was like 2016, and I had my first son in 2017. So yeah.
Okay, great. I suppose it must have been really good. So did you go into kind of birth with quite a positive kind of view then? I suppose if you'd been at home births, you'd kind of had a really lovely connection to how birth can unfold naturally. Like, were these births where women had a midwife there or someone in a kind of official capacity, or was it just yourself, or how were they? What was your kind of like birth experience?
They all three had midwives. Like, all I've only been one free birth before, so yeah, they were all led by midwives, because back then there was a midwife practice that offered home birth here. And I kind of knew all of the midwives too, just from around town, family, friends. So yeah, the first one I went to, it was really cool. It definitely was like a lot more calm than I kind of anticipated, which is a good thing. But I kind of went in like a little bit anxious and a little bit like, it was a long drive there. So I was just like, this could be really great. And I was like thinking of all the things I could say and like all the things I could do, like really in that, like, I'm a doula, I'm going to like save people, all that crap. Kind of like, you know, this stuff they feed you. But luckily I got there and I was like, man, I really need to chill out and just be here. So it was definitely, it was good. Yeah. And the midwife, at that time, there was three midwives at that time. This one, she was very like hands-off and very chill. She sort of just like sat in the corner, and we just sort of, I chatted with the mom and dad. There was another sort of doula there as well. It was at her house. Anyways, yeah, so it went really well. It was like a little bit long, and eventually we all kind of had a nap, and then yeah, she pushed her baby out in the pool and caught him, and it was amazing. It was really cool. Having that be the first experience was like definitely setting the tone for everything, I believe, for sure. Yeah. And then the next two were also water births that I attended with same midwife practice, just different midwives at the time. Yeah. So yeah.
Amazing. Cool. Oh yeah. Oh, what a lovely kind of real life experience to have. Because I feel like a lot of the women that tell their stories to us, you know, they've either had kind of births themselves that have felt, you know, very intense and traumatic, and they've kind of, the only approach they ever thought of was having a hospital birth. You know, that was the only exposure they had, the storyline they had, friends, family. But for you, like, you know, I'm really excited to hear how your story unfolds, because really you've got an amazing beginning. You know, you've got like, yeah, I've been to home births, I saw it all happen, I had a front row seat, it was awesome. So yeah,
it was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, it was really cool. I feel really fortunate to have that experience, because yeah, it's not very common for sure. Yeah, from there, it sort of, I found out I was pregnant. So I went with the same midwifery group, and yeah, things were really chill. Like it was easy. Well, you know, easy in the sense that nothing crazy was going on with my body, handled it well. Of course you get tired and you feel sick and all that stuff, but it was all okay. And then, it's a little bit of a funny story. His birth, should I jump into that now, you think?
Or? It sounds like, yeah, it sounds like pregnancy. I don't know, you were quite casual. It happened.
Yeah, it happened. It was a shock, kind of. We were like, it was one of those like, we could probably have a kid, and let's just like stop not trying, trying to not, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Just see what happens. Like,
yeah. Have it be an option. So anyways, yeah, that happened. And we were kind of like shocked, but it calmed down. And then, yeah, so I also work as a lifeguard at the local pool here, a lifeguard and swim instructor. So, yeah, it's kind of a nice active job. And so actually one of the lifeguards and friends of mine also took her doula course the same time as me. So she ended up being my doula because
we worked together all the time.
So
love that. That's great.
Together and like chatted. Yeah, it was a really cool relationship. But yeah, so yeah, my first birth happened a little bit earlier than we had planned. He was due the end of November. And was a month early, which was surprising to us.
Again, like I wonder if because you'd been to home births, whether the kind of like gestation time was on the longer side, because I feel like, you know, if planning a home birth, generally the mindset's kind of like, well, we'll just wait and see what happens because we don't want that intervention. So were you kind of expecting time to clock on and to just carry on, and then suddenly like, well, is that the...
totally yes 100% midwives were like, well, you know, you're due like the last week or so of November, so you know there's a full moon in December, maybe it'll be. I was like, don't.
I love that.
So grumpy by like 33-34 weeks, like so pissed.
Yeah.
And actually, like, it was, so I had planned to just like not take mat leave until I don't know, until I had the baby. I didn't really think that. I was just like, as long as I can go, I'll just go. Yeah, it was around 34 weeks, and actually I was at work, and my mom also works at the pool too, actually. So my mom was working with me and my doula friend, you know, we were all working together, and we had a class, we were teaching a school class, and I was just so not having it that day. I was just so, like, I'm not getting in the water. I'm just like done with this. I'm feeling just, and anyways, my doula friend, she was like, wow, I wonder if you're going to have that baby soon. And I looked at her and I was like, what? No way. You can't. Don't say that. Like, it's way too early. I can't even think about that yet. But yeah, so about a week after that, I decided like I was kind of ready to go off work. So yeah, I put in for mat leave, and my last day was a week after that. So I was around 35 weeks. But then there was like two shifts they couldn't get covered. So I had to come back for like a couple of shifts at the end of the next week. So yeah, on the day that I was 36 weeks exactly, I had like early morning start and like teach an aqua class. And then I had like 2 hours of swimming lessons.
Oh, wow.
I woke up that morning and I was like, huh, this is weird. I had like a really like jelly-like discharge happen at like 5:30 in the morning. And I was like, oh, man. Okay. And I texted my doula and I was like, I think I just might have lost my mucus plug. And she was like, she looked at the picture and everything, and she was like, yeah, yeah, that's true. It looks like that. Yeah. And we're like, it doesn't really mean anything, so just carry on. I was like, all right. So I like, it's up at 5:30. I did like a little workout and went to work, and I was all like hyper and excited. And I guess like maybe a little bit of adrenaline, because I was like, huh, things are, I don't know.
Something's happening. There was something.
Yeah, exactly. I hadn't done my, I mean, at that point I was, you know, fully in the system with the midwives. I was doing all the tests and everything. So I hadn't done my GBS swab yet. So that was actually that same day, that afternoon, I had an appointment and the midwife would come over and we would do that. So yeah, so that was my last shift of the day. I got off work and I was like, sweet, I'm going to go to the store, get some pads, some witch hazel, some, you know, some extra stuff for this eventual thing that will happen. And got home, and my midwife and my mom came over for tea. We were just chatting in the backyard, and I went to do the swab and came back, and she was just starting to say, she was like, so you're 36 weeks, and we've had a few women like tell us, like they'd come in and think that their water had broken. And so just in case you feel like that happens to you, like this is what to look for. And like, this is how to tell if it's all okay, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. And I leaned forward and I felt this like gush.
Oh God. Like,
that's so weird. I just like kind of froze, and her and my mom kept chatting. I, maybe it was nothing. Maybe I just peed. We did just talk about this. Did I lean back? And there was another huge gush. I could not hide it. The chair was like wet. And I was like, hey guys, I'm going to interrupt you, but I think my water just broke. And the midwife, she, you know, she was just like, are you kidding me right now? Like, and I stood up and she looked, she was like, oh yeah, that definitely just happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so funny. And I didn't feel any, I had no contractions or anything. So it was kind of funny. Yeah. So she sort of was like, well, let's, you know, get you changed. And my mom kind of like hung around for a bit and then decided to leave. Cause I was like, again, like, ooh, adrenaline, like this is crazy. And my partner at the time, he was just getting off work and going to the store or something, so I called him and I was like, my water just broke. He's like, okay, well, do you want me to like come home right now, or can I like finish what I'm getting at the store? Like, yeah. I was like, just come home right now because I'm kind of freaking out.
Yes.
My midwife, since she was still there, she was like, well, let's like, you know, take your blood pressure and do, you know, a bit of, let's just go on the couch and chill for a minute. And then she started taking my blood pressure. And she's like, maybe we'll just wait a little while to take your blood pressure right now, because I think you're a little bit high energy. I was like, yeah, I think that's a good idea. So anyways, what happened was my partner came home. I still wasn't feeling anything. And she did say like, it could take like 24 hours to start feeling something. I did say like, I really don't want to go to the hospital. Like, I really, like, I'm not going there.
Had there been any mention then? So usually, it depends where you live, I guess, but 36 weeks for some in a home birth setting, it would be kind of before a sort of time point. And I think generally, I'm not even sure here in the UK, I feel like it's maybe 37 at least, or maybe it's 38. But then I think it can change depending on who is supporting it too. They can be very like, oh, I'm not really sure about this kind of thing. So was there any mention of, oh, because it's 36 weeks, actually, we wouldn't support you, or we would prefer you to go into hospital? What was the kind of situation you were in?
We actually, like, we hadn't really talked about that. Like, it was sort of mentioned before, and 37 weeks is their usual, but I think, you know, because she knew me, it sort of still depended on the provider, obviously, and she knew I wasn't gonna budge on going to the hospital. I was like, oh man, you think the lungs are okay? Like, it's pretty early. And she's like, I think it's gonna be fine, you know. And she was really reassuring. It was really nice, actually.
And, that's good,
She did not push to go to the hospital at all.
What unusual. Yeah, I feel like I would have heard that from many. I feel like it would have been an instant like, oh my God, you're not this, you don't fit the box. Why don't you fit the box? Let's all stress out about it and panic.
Totally, right? I know. And like now, it's a different midwifery group right now, obviously, but they would, totally be like that for sure. So yeah, the midwifery group back then, that group of women was, they were still like medical midwives, but they were a lot more on the side of like, the woman knows best what she wants, like, you know. So anyways, she kind of left. It was also like 2 days before Halloween here.
Oh wow.
And we had planned on going to a really fun outdoor bonfire party that night, and I had my costume. I had painted this whole eyeball costume.
Fantastic. I was gonna say, what is the bump pun, because there must be one.
I was really excited to wear the big eyeball thing that I made, and I was kind of pissed that we weren't going to be going and the midwife had a different party that she was going to be going to, so we just decided that she was like, if nothing starts like by the morning, you can drink this like castor oil smoothie shake type thing. And I was kind of like, okay, that doesn't sound very good. Like, that sounds kind of gross. And like, I don't know, we'll see how it goes. And I'm not a very patient person. So it was like, I think my water broke at around like, I want to say 2:33-ish. I can't really remember. And then, she left and we went to the store to make a huge grocery shop, and I was wearing like an adult diaper, kind of leaking here and there, but still no feelings or anything. That night we got back, it was like 7-ish. I wasn't really hungry I was just kind of still like, I still felt a little bit like adrenaline rush type. Like I really wanted to like get things going. So my doula came over, she gave me like some massage and some, you know, just hung out with us, and we decided to go for a little walk. But before, I was like, I just want to see if this will do anything. So I had castor oil, and instead of making a smoothie, I was like, I'm just not going to waste all those ingredients. I'm just going to take a shot of it, I think.
Ooh, like, okay.
Yeah. So the smoothie says take 1 tablespoon and mix it with all this stuff, you know, so it's digesting slower in your body and you can barf it up if you need to. All of that stuff I had no idea about. There was no like pros and cons list or like risk factor told to me about castor oil. So I was like, I'm just gonna like put a teaspoon in some orange juice and just slam it. So I did that. Felt nothing. We went for a little walk for like half an hour, came back, and I was like, I still feel nothing. I'm just gonna try one more time. One more teaspoon with some orange juice and slammed it again. And then I was like, doula, you can go home. This will probably be like a long time. It's fine. You just go have a rest. It was around 8:30 at that point, probably. So as soon as she left, I was like, oh man. So I was like, I really need to poo, I think. So I went to the bathroom, cleared everything out.
Yep.
Definitely had some cramps starting on the toilet. I was like, oh, I think this might be starting something, but I couldn't really tell. So eventually I get out of the bathroom, I go on to the couch. My partner's like, are you okay? Like, I wasn't really communicating at this time. Yeah. Either. Like, I just need to like be by myself. So I go onto the couch and it's around 9, I think. And I definitely start feeling some cramping, like some major cramping. And I was like, oh man, sweet. Like, let's get the contraction timer and time this one. And so he was holding the phone and I was like, okay, push start. Like, it's definitely still like building and building. It's still there. And it was like minutes and minutes went by and he's like, should I push stop yet? And I was like, no, it's still there. Wow. Like, it's not going away. I was like, maybe text Megan, my doula, Megan, to come back. It had been like half an hour. And so he texted her and then came back and he's like, is it gone yet? And I was like, no. And I just like threw my phone on the ground.
And I was like, it's not going
stop
away.
Counting me. Yeah. Like, this hasn't really released yet. Like, it still was like a very, like, it just felt like one long contraction. And honestly, like the whole time it didn't really ease off. It was definitely definitely a castor oil contraction. That's for sure. And I feel like, there was no points in the labor that it eased off until pushing started.
Oh god.
Wow. It's so good to hear about that, because I feel like people who maybe want to avoid you know, induction and intervention, they'll go down maybe the more natural things to start stuff going. But actually, I've never heard of anybody experience castor oil contractions like that. That's really interesting to hear. That sounds really intense.
I mean, really intense. As far as I'm aware, there's nothing scientific behind it apart from it being a gut irritant. Like, it can irritate your bowel and then that might stimulate something, I suppose. But I think that's all just kind of theory. But I do hear about castor oil quite a bit because, again, like, it's massive, air quotes, natural form of induction. But then, obviously, caveat of there's no form of natural induction apart from waiting for your baby, you know, and anything you do can have a possible knock-on effect like you're describing. You'll have, you know, a wave of contraction, well, not even contractions, just one long one by the sound of it. That's really intense and not easy to deal with.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. And that's sort of like after that birth, that's sort of when I was realizing like all of that stuff I learned in the doula course, I guess I'm not just the average person. Like, I didn't get the like slow buildup and like the whatever. Yeah, it kind of shook me a little bit after. I was like, oh, I've got some thinking to do about this. And I definitely, I think maybe it was because my, you know, my waters were open already at that point. And I'm sure it who knows how long it would have taken to start naturally. But it was definitely out of fear of, you know, not wanting to go to the hospital and have anything more major be put in the body. You know?
Oh, it's so understandable. Yeah, like I'm not, I'm highlighting it more for people listening, like I'm not having a dig or anything. Like, honestly, because it's not, you know, it's so understandable. I mean, I ate an entire pineapple when I was pregnant with my first because I was just so like, oh, I'm excited for the end point. I want to meet my baby. And because there's such a lot of pressure around a kind of due date or whatever, or like you say, a timeline, your waters are broken, you just want to get this moving. It's so understandable to do things. But I think it's really good to talk about it because people don't understand what that might do or what that might mean, because yeah, I mean, why would we? We're not told, like you say, you weren't given a list of kind of these are the pros and cons. You were just like, we might do this, maybe we'll try this, and that's kind of it, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. Oh, if I could go back in time, Victoria.
I know. Oh, a lot of us feel that way.
Yeah, no. It worked out fine though. Like, so I was like rocking and swaying. I was standing up the whole time, sort of swaying from one foot to the other. I didn't want to do anything else the whole time. We called my midwife again around like 10 probably. And I was talking to her. Like it was still quite intense, but I could talk still. So because of that, she was like, well, and of course I was still like, man, once my midwife gets here, then. And then it's like, then what? Like, why? What will that change really when the midwife gets here? Like, nothing. But for some reason, you think once the midwife gets there, it's going to be serious. And that baby. And so obviously, I wanted her to get there. She was at the Halloween party that she had been to. And she was like, well, maybe like you're still talking through. So I'll give it a little while and then I'll head up. And I was like, okay.
Please tell me she showed up in some kind of outfit. Was she dressed?
Absolutely did.
Did she?
Yes.
What was she dressed as?
Yeah, it was amazing, actually. So, like half an hour later, she showed up and she was all painted green with like she was like an alien. It was so cool. I loved it. She had like, I don't remember if she had like little antennas. I don't remember like what she was like, what her like clothing were, but she was all green. It was so,
she was green. Yeah.
It was so surreal.
Yeah. She washed it off a little bit, but of course I wasn't really paying that much attention. I was a little bit out of it by then.
I would just love the birth photo of like a midwife that was green.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, I'm here. Yeah. Yeah. That was probably, I don't know. I don't really remember. I'm going to say maybe 10:30-ish. 11-ish she showed up. And she sort of like observed for a while, and I was just like still rocking and swaying, and I had started vocalizing by that point. I was definitely like making cow sounds for sure. Mm-hmm. And after a little while she sort of was like, maybe we should give you a check just to see, like, well, you know, all the reasons they give you. And I didn't want one, but at the same, you know, I was in that land of like, right, this is what I need to do because this is the normal thing that people do in birth. They get checked even if it's at home, and you know, the wife needs to check you at least once just to make sure, blah blah blah. So I didn't want to, but she did. I wouldn't say she like persisted a lot. She was just kind of like, you know, because of the really long drawn out not really going away contractions, I think there was, you know, she had cause for concern kind of. We did that. I was like, okay, well, everybody else out of the room, please. Like, I still wanted privacy. I really didn't want to go through with it. And it was still like hurting a lot. There was no like in between. So I was like, you know, lie down on my back. She was like, okay, well, tell me when it's a little less. And I was like, there's not a little less.
That will like,
not
happen.
Not,
yeah.
Not going to happen. So just go for it. And it helped so much. It really did. She was really quick, obviously. And I did tell her, and she knew this beforehand. I was like, do not tell me at all. Mention anything about it. I don't want to know. Please do not tell me. So she definitely, she remembered that. She didn't say anything. She was just like, okay, maybe like go in the shower if you want. I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. And I had wanted a birth pool and to do a water birth, but she had said like, I didn't have the pool at my house yet. I think it was at someone else's house. Still, she was like, it might not be the best idea for like a month early baby to be born in water because of temperature, blah, blah, blah. Kind of bullshit, really. But yeah. Anyways, yeah, it's okay. I went in the shower for a good long time. I still had my like diaper on because I'm still really a private person. And I was like,
yeah,
I'm just going to wear it. Okay, I'm not taking this off. People are popping their heads into the shower. I don't want to be naked around people.
Like, I think that's a really good point to make, because like, why should your kind of like sense of self go out the window? Because you're laboring.
Yeah.
Not everyone has to see your vagina or whatever, do they?
I know. And people always tell you, and they told me, they're like, oh, you're not going to care. You're just going to be fine being naked. I'm like, I'm not that person, man. I'm not.
Definitely.
But it was funny. So the, you know, the diaper eventually filled up full of water.
Yes.
Like, it fell off. I was like, fuck. So my doula got me some underwear because I, of course, still couldn't be naked at that point. Yeah. But yeah, I was in there, and I just remember, like, I was left alone for a little while, which was really nice, actually. And I just, it was intense, but it got like more intense, of course. And I was just swaying back and forth and had the water. And I was just like, in my head, I'm like, wow, this is like fucking crazy. I think like I wanted to cry. Like I wanted tears to come out, but that wouldn't happen. I like tried like crying to see if it would help. And it didn't. Like I couldn't even do that. I was like, okay, then I must just have to like die maybe, because this is really like, I don't even care at this point. Like, I don't care what happens. It was definitely like that moment of surrendering, really, where you're like, it's not like I knew I was trying to resist, but of course you still are trying to like have some form of control over whatever, you know, the pain, the sensation and everything. So I really at that point was like, okay, this is just how it is. And I just have to let go and like have this happen. There's no other option. Like, this is just how it is. And it was getting very, very, very much more intense. And of course, I believe that was transition time. The water started running out of hot water, so it started getting cold.
Yeah.
And my doula popped her head back in. I don't know where my partner was at this time. I think because of like the doula and midwife, it's not like they were trying to obviously keep him away from me or anything, but he's a bit of a shy person. He doesn't know them super duper well. And I think he was just kind of didn't want to be in the way.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
So yeah, I got out of the shower and my doula was there with me. And then I was kind of like, I think I went onto the toilet and then like was onto the floor. Somehow I was sitting there and I started feeling like a gap in between. Finally, I was like, whoa, I feel some relief right now. Like I don't. And then the next one came and I was like, ugh. Like, oh, that was, I was like, wow, that felt really good. And she was like, that was a push sound. And I was like, yeah. She like called the midwife. And I had been in the shower for like an hour, I think, maybe a little less. Yeah. So it was like, I want to say around midnight maybe. And yeah, the pushing, just it was really lovely to have that break in between. I could talk. I felt super normal. I was like, this is amazing, you guys. Like, and yeah, I got up on all fours. I was leaning kind of over the bathtub. Eventually they were like, you gotta take your underwear off. Like, you should probably. I was like, fine. I was definitely, yeah, the pushing was crazy. It was definitely like the fetal ejection reflex kicked in real hard. It was really cool. And it was, you know, that scary feeling like of, you know, your pelvis widening and getting, you know, expanding. And I actually really, the most painful part actually was, it was really weird. I had a really sharp, I didn't know what it was at the time, the symphysis pubis pain, really sharp, sharp pain. And I told my midwife, I was like, it really hurts like right here. And I was like pointing at my crotch and she's like, what? Huh, okay, that's interesting, like really sharp. And she was like, okay, well, you're still, this baby's coming, so I kind of have to just focus. So it just, you know, kept on. And I reached down and I was like, what the fuck is that? Obviously it was his head was already like, you know, this much out. Yeah. that's the head. And yeah, it didn't take very many more pushes, maybe like a couple or so. And I definitely like had the reflex of like putting my hand down there and like panting a little bit and like doing that. Like she wasn't koshy or anything like that. Yeah. And then he came out, she obviously caught him behind me and it passed him through my legs. And I sort of sat back and Lyle was there at that point, my partner. I was like, get him in here. Obviously, as soon as they started pushing, I was like, get him in here. And he was, you know, he was right there with me. So I was like, Lyle, do we have a boy or a girl? Like, what is it? He was still just like in shock, kind
yeah.
of. Yeah. None of us were expecting this so soon. Mm. So, you know, my impatience won over and I just looked and I was like, oh my gosh, we have a boy. Like, it was crazy to think it had just all happened. And he wasn't super tiny. After we weighed him, he was like 6 pounds.
And that's decent. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of it, I don't know if he was exactly 36 weeks. You never really know. I wasn't obviously tracking my cycle and you're just going off of what they say and everything. So I don't know. Like, 36? Was he 37? Was he 35? I don't know. He was great, though. He was healthy.
Yeah.
And my placenta came out like, I don't know, like 20 minutes or so after the midwife wasn't like super strict, but she was like, okay, let's see if we can like cough your placenta out. And she like put the Chuck's pad in between the toilet seat and the bowl and got me there, and I just coughed and it plopped out. And yeah, after that, we like cut the cord and it had gone all white. And I got into bed and yeah, none of it.
Amazing. Bloody smashed it on your first birth.
Yeah. I know. And so it was like, I think he was born at like just after 12:30 or so, like 3.5 hours of one long contraction.
Yeah, that's it. You kind of had it all in one go. I don't know I don't know what you'd prefer, whether it would more spaced out gap in between longer birth, but then quicker. I hear that though a lot, actually, like rapid labors being quite full on. I think Leonie yourself, I feel like you've talked about that with yours before.
We've so intense.
Exactly, yeah. It's like that intensity burst. Like, yeah. Whereas I've had a very long, slow burner of like 24 hours of like on and off, but really gradual and kind of building up, and you're like, oh, come on, but forever, or feeling like, I mean, I know people labour longer as well. Like, I know that's by no means the longest, but yeah, I feel like it's a bit of either or. But yeah, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, I feel fortunate again that it was a quick one like that. If it was going to be that intense, obviously I'm very glad it was over quickly. Not that it, like, you know, I don't want to scare anybody who's listening to this who hasn't had a baby yet that's like afraid of the pain, because like, yes, it's painful, but also I induced myself.
Yeah,
having experienced a not induced labor afterwards, very, very different. Very different. Postpartum with him was also a little bit more challenging, just because he didn't really have his suck reflex quite well yet. So he got jaundiced, and we decided to go to the hospital a couple times to, we had to get his bilirubin checked, and he had to go under the lights for two sessions, a few days apart under the bilirubin lights. So that really sucked. I really hated that. But by the second time, we were like, oh, yeah, we got this. It's fine. But it was a lot. And I have to say, like, for people who are pumping, like, pumping your milk, especially that fresh postpartum, is wow, it's a full-time job. And then also caring for a baby on top of that. And then trying to, like, get him to latch sometimes. And all the things, you know, waking up every few hours to do both of those things. It's a lot.
It's quite an intense start of motherhood, isn't it? I think.
Yeah.
Well, it is anyway. Yeah. But yeah, definitely. I think when people, like women, are pumping, that is pretty full on.
Yeah, it was crazy. And we did still have the midwife support. We didn't have the same midwife who was at my birth. She had sort of taken a leave of absence after that birth. I was her last one, so we had another friend. So she sort of did all the follow up appointments and stuff, and we were just, you know, checking his weight all the time, making sure he was all good, that whole like making sure thing, because how could I know?
Did you have any concerns at all? Because I mean, I was almost forgetting about the number of weeks when you were talking about your birth, because there didn't sound like there was a huge concern, and afterwards it didn't really sound like there was a concern. And like you say, maybe the postpartum bit in the early kind of beginning, but did you feel kind of really happy with, you know, this baby seems fine, you know, it was early but everything seems well to me, you know, was that how you felt?
I was relieved that, I mean, not relieved, like I kind of did know it would be okay. Like I wasn't worried about anything crazy happening, and like the thought of NICU didn't even cross my mind at all. Like not even once. Like I knew it was going to be okay. I think once he, like the next day, because he wasn't latching super well, and like I was trying to express and feed him with a syringe, wasn't going super well. He was quite sleepy. I was a little bit worried, and then like, you know, the next morning after his birth, he had the urea crystals in his diaper, and I didn't know about those.
Yeah,
because it can look like blood.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my god. So the one thing I will say about like immediate postpartum, like he was born at like 12:30-ish, whatever, and the next morning, my doula had gifted me like fresh 48 photos with another doula who offered those in town, and of course in my brain I'm like, well, I guess we gotta like get those photos done.
Oh, yeah.
I told her that she could come over the next morning and like take photos, but then also like my mom and sister were coming to meet him, and then the midwife was also showing up, because I was like, there's blood in his diaper, so
gosh, it's quite a lot of people.
Yeah, it was
busy day.
Yeah, it was a busy day, and I regret that, because it kind of, it definitely affected like our chance to like really bond and chill as all three. Like, I don't know, it was fun, but it was also like, you know, the midwife was like, you know what, like, let's stop taking pictures, put them on your chest and just keep them there, because, you know, she had to like kind of remind me, because I was all kind of lost in the excitement of it, and I'm glad that she did. She's like, put him on your chest, nobody else hold him, skin to skin, just like there. And yeah, so she was very reassuring and good at that. But, yeah, other than that, it was okay.
I think it's a sort of thing that we massively underestimate, particularly as first-time mums. You know, you've probably got people in your community saying, rest, prepare, rest, prepare, and you go, yeah, whatever. I've got it, don't worry about me. And then it's that sort of thing you've really got to go through, and then you have that, you know, the first few days and go, now I get what you're on about now. Okay.
Yeah, you can't really understand till you are through it or going through it. Like, oh shit, this is what they're talking about.
You focus so much on the birth, don't you? That's the thing. I didn't give a thought to the postpartum at all first time around, not at all. I was just like, yeah, whatever, that would sort itself. It's just all birth. But yeah, now it's almost like I can't get a sentence out without it kind of me saying, but yes, do rest in your postpartum, like, do think of make a plan for that as well, like, you know, definitely do it, and hopefully it goes through to some. But
exactly. And it was really funny, I forgot to mention, my mom and sister were very excited, and my mom's friend, we live in a town that's only accessible by ferry boat, so my mom's friend came across from Vancouver Island on the ferry boat for the night. She had work the next morning, but she came to like hang out with my mom and sister all night, and they like parked outside our house. Like, as I was in labor, I had no idea of this, obviously, and I was in the bathroom. The bathroom window was open. They were like, I'm pretty sure we could hear you. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm sure the whole neighborhood here heard me. Yeah. That's what you get, man, for parking out the house.
Yeah.
No, but then, yeah, it was just all the excitement. It was my mom's and dad's, like, first grandbaby and everything. Mm. All that stuff.
So did you tell people that you were, you know, not wanting to go to the hospital? You were hoping to birth at home, planning to birth at home. Like, what is the kind of, is that like normal? Is it a bit unusual? Where you are?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's a little bit split, because there's definitely a lot of people here who are, I mean, and at the time with the midwives, the home birth midwives that were here, a lot more people were into it. For sure. It wasn't this like crazy thing. And I was definitely forward with everybody from the start. And yeah, my family, I have lots of family in town. But yeah, they never said anything like, oh, I'm dangerous and all that stuff. It was, I felt really respected, which was really cool.
That's good.
Choice. At least I don't remember anything weird happening about that. But yeah. That's all I have to say.
Oh, that's good. Can I just draw on something that you said with the examination from the midwife, the vaginal examination? Because you said that you were happy for her to check you, but for her not to tell you. And I really like that, because I think there's just this unwritten assumption that the midwives are going to tell you where you're at. And I just wanted to draw on that. You know, they can look for their own purposes, but they don't necessarily need to tell you if you don't want to know. So I think, yeah, just if you're listening and you're considering vaginal examinations, just think about whether you want to know what's going on or what the number is or anything.
Yeah. Very good point. I'm glad you brought that up again, too, because I did get her to tell me what I was at after everything. And she said I was at like a 1.5.
Oh,
like 90% face-to-faced. And like, could you imagine? I can't imagine what I would have. I don't know how that would have affected me if I had known that. Like, I don't know.
You kind of give up, I think, because I did that with my first birth. Yeah. And because I'd been labouring for a bit. I'd had no idea how long it goes on for. And then having a number like that, it just devastated me. And I was just like, you're bloody kidding me. It must be more than that. No. And then you feel like you're on a huge like journey. There's so much left. And, we know it can happen actually really rapidly. It's bugger all to do with how many centimetres it can be really fast, which it was for me eventually. But we don't know that. You think you hear a number that's really low and you think, oh, God, I'm doomed. This is never going to end. See, it's really good. It sounds like it was good she didn't tell you.
Yeah, I'm super glad. Because, he was born like just over an hour later. So.
Yeah, see, that's amazing. That doesn't fit the model. Yeah, for them. But
Yeah, so there's a four-year age gap in between my two babies as well. So we've made it a nice long time to have we ended up going on a road trip to Mexico for a few months.
Nice.
Like 2 months old. We had planned it already because we both had a long like parental leave. So it was kind of nice to sort of get out into the sun and be away from everything for a few months with a new baby. Yeah.
So what kind of got you thinking? Did you kind of agree on a time or was it more of a case of like, kind of thinking maybe another one?
We didn't talk about it for a really long time, I think, because we were just, I mean, it was, you know, it's always sort of on the back of your mind, but I think we were just happy with where we were at. And it was kind of like, you know, I felt like I'd gotten my body back kind of, and like was like, I like to exercise and all that stuff, so I was feeling pretty good, so I wasn't really into like wanting to do that again. It still felt so like fresh too. Like a 2-year-old and 3-year-old are really still just little babies.
Yeah.
I feel like. But he was like, about 3-ish. And we were driving one day and I was like, I kind of want to have another one. You know, like I don't think that I feel done. I think I definitely need to want, like, I want to have another one. He was like, okay, well, we need to have a big talk. He's very much a planner, very like, you know, we're a little bit opposite that way. Cause I'm really like, for the moment, like, let's just do it. It'll be fine. So we talked a bit, but at the same time, it was a little bit, you know, it kind of just happened again. we talked about it enough that we were comfortable with like not trying to.
Not trying. Yeah.
Not trying. Famous not trying. Yeah. So I got pregnant like earlier, and I think it was like a chemical one because I was getting these symptoms. It was around like October-ish or something. I was getting all the weird symptoms. Like I felt sick, my nipples were really sore all the time. So I took a test and it was really faintly positive. Really, really faintly. Like I had to text one of my doula friends and she was like, oh yeah, I think so. And anyways, so we kind of, you know, that got us talking about like, okay, I guess we're having another baby. But I also wasn't really hopeful because it was very, very faint line. And I knew, I don't know, I just had this feeling that it wouldn't really last. So yeah, I did start like bleeding a few days or so after that. And it was just, it was just a really heavy, like I started bleeding and I was like, oh yeah, this is probably what's going to happen here. So yeah, it wasn't crazy. It wasn't, I'm sure it was very, very early pregnancy because it was actually just like a very heavy period. Like I always say, like, it's not like a heavy period, but this one actually was a little bit more intense cramping than usual period stuff. But yeah, and then so I took a test like a few days after that and it was negative, of course, which was okay. I didn't feel super sad about it. We were kind of okay. But yeah, so that kind of happened. And then yeah, we got pregnant with my second in February-ish. And this was a time that the midwifery group had changed. The one that had been around when I was pregnant with my first had sort of dissolved, like probably like end of February. I was a doula for two of my friends. One of them, mid-February, had a home birth with the midwife that was one midwife that was left. Sorry. It was just one of the people doing all the things. And shortly after that, she quit because of, well, burnout, basically lots of things.
Ah.
So yeah, it was really, really not great. Cause she had, you know, lots of clients who were expecting home births, that kind of just had to, they were kind of just dropped and they had to suddenly like, get someone to care for them. Well, care for them.
Why did the sorry to interrupt you? Why did the team start to break down? Was it funding? Was it, you know, just not supporting home births? What happened?
I believe it was mostly burnout, coupled with like the kind of other end of the scale of the hospital here, because it's a rural hospital. Like a level, what is it, one or something, level something, not a very great level of hospital. They can't deal very well with tiny babies. I feel like the relationship between the midwives and the hospital wasn't great. And there had been a couple of stillbirths, like within the year before, I don't know, one before me and then one like a year after me. So it was, yeah, a lot to do with that. And it kind of just fizzled out. It was kind of shitty. So there was just one left and she was kind of juggling everything and eventually it just wasn't sustainable. Not really the right support and everything. So that's, I think, what it was. So there was a new midwifery group starting up with one person. But she did not offer home births. She was just hospital birth midwife. So yeah, when I found out I was pregnant the second time, I was like, or I guess a third time, I was hopeful that maybe by then she would have her shit figured out and like be offering home births. But she was not. And I was very, very, very adamant from the very start. I was like, I'm not doing this in the hospital. Like, you either get your shit together or I'm not. I'm just doing it at home anyways. So I definitely think my anger fueled me a little bit into this, which was good. Like, I kind of love how it all turned out. I mean, for me at least, being selfish, this has been a really great thing, a good process that I've gone through.
Were you aware of more doulas then being at free births? Because if the kind of midwife support was kind of just not there, was free birth something that became a little bit more prominent or talked about? Or was it just like, hell no, just hospital? You know, was there any kind of, did you have any awareness of that at all?
I actually did not. It was like all of the clients were like, yeah.
It's just automatic hospital. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I think there, I mean, this town has been, and I wasn't really aware of it, it has been like a higher free birth type town, like in its past everything because of, yeah, the lack of midwives. So people would just, you know, free birth. But yeah, I still wasn't really that aware. I actually, what really sparked me was one of the doulas that I had met here. She had free birthed her baby a couple years before on one of the little islands that's like sort of beside our town. It's Savory Island. And yeah, so she free birthed him there So I got a hold of her and I was like, hey, this is what's going on. And I'm pissed off, but I'd really like to listen to your rebirth story. And so she hit me up and we talked about it. It was really sweet. Yeah, that kind of just started there.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this isn't that big of a deal. I'm still mad, but this is not that big of a deal.
Because I know that on some of our more remote, like Scottish Isles and stuff, they don't support home births. They're really scared of free births because the next, you know, if you need support, it's like a helicopter ride to the mainland. And there's one helicopter. And if it's needed for, you know, a sea emergency, you're kind of screwed. So they're really, really hot on getting people, you know, people book like hotel rooms or a house even for like the month before they're due to give birth. And, you know, they move. move to the mainland for a bit. So it's really cool to hear that lots of women are free birthing. They're just, you know, getting on with it. They don't want to, or maybe can't go to the hospital, they can't move. Who can just, you know, up and leave and afford that kind of stuff? So it's really cool to hear that, yeah, just getting on with it. I love that.
Yeah, because yeah, that is really the only option, because there are midwifery groups like on the Sunshine Coast and Cooper Island and stuff near us, but still a ferry ride away. And
yeah,
who has the means to stop for a month and a bit, like rent somewhere?
How do you know? Because, like, you know, judging from your first birth, you were early, you know, so you could have gone somewhere quite happily and then it just would have happened anyway. So then
exactly, it's like you just can't really know. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. But yeah,
So it sounds like, you know, your interest was piqued about free birth. You were kind of finding out a bit more about it. But then was that a discussion with your partner?
Obviously he knows me. But I just like came home from the first appointment and I was like, well, they're not offering home births, but I'm just doing it at home anyways. He was like, okay, I know. I'm just gonna do it, like this is crap. And yeah, he was just like, okay, I kind of knew that already, but all right. And so yeah, we didn't honestly have that many conversations about it. We kind of just, you know, he's I'd like to say he trusts me.
He just knew.
Sounds like it.
So that was kind of it. And then, you know, near the end, I was like, after I'd learned like a whole bunch of stuff, like I didn't even really press him to learn that much about it because it didn't feel like I needed to. I wasn't very concerned really with him needing to do anything. Like I wasn't like, oh yeah, we need to learn our CPR and blah, 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 and you need this and this and this. Like I didn't really feel like that was that necessary. It just felt like it would add more stress than we really wanted. So. And, you know, both of us, like, he has lifeguard training in his background as well. So we both know, like, CPR and all that stuff. And, yeah, so we felt, I mean, I felt pretty confident. I don't know exactly what he was feeling about it because I didn't really badger him and ask him a lot. But, at the time of birth, he was cool as a cucumber. It was great.
That's good. Yeah. Well, at least it's good he wasn't trying to put you off or, you know, didn't project a lot of fear into it, because it can be tough, you know, if your partner's not on board or at least just not willing to kind of go with your decision about it. That can be really difficult. I mean, I guess it's really nice that you'd given birth at home already, you know, so you kind of had that sense of like, I did this. I didn't need, you know, anyone to really do anything. And I've done that. And he was there too. So there was that kind of pretty good solid link to like, yeah, we could probably do this. We've sort of done it already, you know.
Totally. Again, not very common at all. Like it's crazy. Like I feel like I'm one of like the maybe rarish, not so rare, but kind of rare people who have gone into free birth, but like not had a traumatic story before.
Yeah. I think you're going to be quite rare on the podcast because I think a lot of the stories we get, they do unfortunately start with like, I mean, sometimes it's first time mum, we have had that actually, but I think sadly on the whole, there is this, women can be really motivated to free birth because of a really bad experience, sadly. That's not always the case, but exciting then. Yeah. So tell us, so did you do any kind of prep then or why did, was there anything you did specifically because you knew you were free birthing that you thought, oh, okay, right, I want to do this, this and this?
What was your prep like? Was there any?
Well, we have a giant bathtub, so I was like, I want to use that.
Yeah.
As soon as we moved into the house, I was like, that's a good birth tub.
Yeah.
Until like a year and a half later, but still, I was like, yeah. So there was that plan. I definitely wanted to like go for a water birth. Yeah, the prep stuff, I mean, I mostly, honestly, most of my education around it, I guess you could say, was listening to all of the free birth stories I could find anywhere. So like all of them, just on repeat all day long, I would listen to like nonstop. I mean, I feel like there's more sources now with you guys and a few others now, but yeah, I'd like to say I listened to probably like hundreds of stories and learned from, you know, different people's experiences and if certain things happened, like what people sort of did. And then like I was also on Instagram at that time, just on my personal account, finding all these sources as well and gaining more information that way. And yeah, I didn't pay money for any courses. Mm-hmm. I paid a lot of time. Like every time I was learning about as much as I could, finding things and just researching things. Yeah, it was a really cool journey because I love it and I'm passionate about it. It worked out well that way. But yeah, that's kind of what my prep is. Really.
It's investing something, isn't it? Like, yeah, you know, of course it can be great because it can get everything in one place and maybe that's easier, but it's the time you put in too. You know, you can, like you say, listen to all the stories. It's almost like doing your own kind of research, I guess. Well, it is, you know, you're listening to all these different scenarios going, right, okay, that happened. Then maybe I'll do that. Or, you know, it's being aware of what could happen. That's really helpful. So yeah, I think that's pretty good. Sounds like your prep was pretty good. And you were really excited about it too.
Of, like,
you
know, anecdotal evidence, I'd like to say.
Yes, exactly. You know? Exactly. Yeah.
And I did like for like, you know, actual stuff. I had like a bin that someone had given me, like an old home birth bin with some Chucks pads and a clamp and basically like some adult diapers, a few things like that. So that's kind of what we had. And then like towels. I did invite one of my friends, my good friends. She was actually the first birth I was at after I'd had my own baby, like a year later. So I kind of have been to most of my friends' births and been there.
Sounds like it. That's so lovely.
Yeah,
I really love that.
Yeah. And she had never been to a birth before and she was thinking about getting like her doula stuff. She was really into it. So I was like, if you're comfortable, like you can totally come to this one with us if you want to. So yeah, and I was actually invited to sort of observe, I'd like to say, observe from a distance a free birth with one of my other sort of acquaintance friends, like a couple months before my own. So yeah, because at that time there were a few other women like planning on free birthing because of the situation. So a shitty way to call it.
how was it for you, because you've been at birth both not pregnant and pregnant, did it feel any different for you being pregnant?
Like at the free birth, you mean, or just at
both actually?
Yeah, it's interesting because I'd actually been to a hospital birth that summer as well, pregnant, planning a free birth. And that was just like the cherry on top of like, this is why I'm never coming here.
Yeah.
It went fine, but just lots of little things sticking out to me like, oh, hate that, hate this, hate that. How are you even doing this right now? Wow. Like lots of those things. So that I felt being pregnant there too, it was a little weird. I didn't love it. The free birth was really great. I didn't have any like hangups about going. I feel really honored that I was invited. Another doula friend was there with her. They were really good friends. And yeah, just one day she's like, okay, I think it's time. It was her fifth baby too. So she was pretty confident as well.
Yeah.
So it was really quick as well. And I filmed it for them. So I was kind of like, you know, back a ways. I didn't want to interfere. I like ran out to get their takeout food. And that's when things progressed and then came back and just like filmed for them. So it was amazing. And I was like, yeah, this is totally doable. Like this is just a normal day. Like, their friend came to pick up their dog, like, a couple minutes after, so I, like, held a towel up and, like, to, like, cover her with her baby in the pool, and he, like, grabbed the dog and, like, laughed. I'm like, this is so normal. This is fine. Yeah, so that was really cool to, you know, be invited to be a part of before my own experience. It definitely helped, like, reassure that it's just, yeah, it's just a part of life, really. It's just a process. Yeah. Should I go into?
Yeah. What happened? What happened? Oh, no. Yeah. I'm like, when did it
not
kick
off? Dramatic as the first one, I can tell you.
But was it a similar time then? Were you? Was this early? Was what? Did you know? What was it?
It was not early. No, I was wondering. I actually did. I started my mat leave at 36 weeks because I was like, well, yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll see. Mm. And like the midwife had brought up, like, if I was anxious about it being early again, she brought up, like, the cervical, the cerclage or whatever, like the stitching the cervix shut.
Oh, yes. I was like, yeah, cervical stitch. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Yeah. I'm going to sleep right now. Don't even say that to me. Like, no, it's not an option. I didn't feel anxious about that part at all. So, yeah. And of course, I was like, yeah, upfront with them from the very start that I was not going to be going to the hospital and didn't expect them to even try to come to my birth. So that was good. We both knew our boundaries, which was good. Yeah, so it kind of started, I think that I was a week earlier than they said, because I did kind of know my dates then. And the dating scan put me like a week ahead of what I thought. And, you know, it wouldn't have been possible to have conceived because I was like on my period the dating scan.
Yeah.
Would have put me like on my period. I was like, no, like,
no.
I believe I was 39 weeks and like 2 days when I gave birth this time. Yeah. So it was kind of nice. I had like some time beforehand to actually like get things done. And my oldest was like going to preschool a couple days a week just to get him like, you know, used to having some kind of routine and me being able to have time with the new baby. My partner wasn't able to take off as much time. The first time he got to take off like 9 months, which
was
so nice.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, very rare thing. So this time it was like 5 weeks or so that he was able to take off. And that was still really amazing. Like that.
So good.
Lovely time. Yeah. So yeah, it kind of started the day before. You know, I was also really uncomfortable and I had never been pregnant that long. So I was like, really not having it. We did my like son's fourth birthday. His birthday is October 29th. And I was due like early November. So I was like, well, it could be cool if they have the same birthday. I was kind of excited. And then it didn't happen. I was like, ah. I got through that. And then so my mom had taken him for a sleepover, which was lovely. And it sort of happened around like 3 or 4, probably like 4-ish in the morning. I started noticing like little tightenings, like little like period cramps, but really quick, like little quick ones, and then they would sort of go away. And it only happened a little for like a few minutes. And then I was like, well, I'm just going to stay in bed and try and sleep. So I did that. And I did. I at least didn't notice them for a good while. And then I woke up around like 7:30 and was feeling them again. Like they were a little bit stronger, but still really quick, like maybe 10 seconds long. And then like we'd wait a while and then like another 10 seconds, 10, 20 seconds. So around 8, I was like, maybe I'm just curious, like how far apart these are. Cause I just, you know, I want to know. I'm not going to time my contractions this time, but yeah. And so I timed them and they were like 5 minutes apart. So I was like, oh, okay. Wow. I am having normal contractions. I love this. Like,
yeah, it's a different experience for you.
Yeah. I was like, oh man, this is amazing. I felt so fine in between. My partner came downstairs after a little while and was like, are you okay? And I'm like, I think things might be happening. I'm just gonna like chill here for a bit and then come upstairs and you just do your thing. He was like, do you want me to like start boiling water. I was like, sure, why not? Go ahead and start boiling water. There's no way our big bathtub was going to fill up with our hot water tank. So we had to have some reserve.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, sure, keep yourself busy and do that. So I came upstairs after a little bit, still like the 5 minute apart thing, but still really quick, like maybe 20 seconds of like noticing and like kind of breathing. I made a little bit of breakfast and got my yoga ball, and I was like, I think I'm just gonna like sit here on this ball upstairs and like maybe watch some crappy Netflix, and you can just go downstairs. He came down here and like puttered around while I was up there. I'm like, I just want to be myself. I kind of gave my mom the heads up. I was like, I think maybe early labor starting, not super sure. And she was like, okay, that's fine, like you just tell me what you want and I'll keep him for however you want, like however long, because I wasn't sure if I wanted him there or not. Like I kind of did. I didn't really want my mom there, but I don't I was still undecided at that point. So it was sort of a nice like hour or two of like just hanging out, like moving around, like breathing. I didn't feel like I needed to make any noise yet. And then I was also telling my friend Julia, like, I think things are happening, like you could come over at some point today if you want. She was like, okay, sure, I'll be there whenever you want. She lived half an hour away, so she's like, okay. So at some point they were getting a little more intense, still same frequency. And I thought I felt my water broke. I was sitting on like a pad and I was like, huh, this is weird. Maybe my water just broke, but maybe not. And it didn't. I was like, well, so this is what people are talking about when they think it broke, but it was just me. Yeah. But at that point I was like, I think I'm going to go like into the bathroom. And I texted my friend that she could make her way over if she wanted. And I was like, Lyle, come up here and please fill the bath up because I think I want to get in the bath. And it was kind of weird. Like I was kind of like on the toilet in between when he was filling the bath up and kind of making some noises. And at that point, I didn't feel like I was acting, but I was like not acting, but it felt like I kind of wasn't sure how I should be acting. And I was just doing what I thought maybe would be a good thing to do. I don't know. That sounds confusing, but I think because I knew no one else was coming and I was the full authority, it was great and I loved it. But I was still like a little bit gaslighting myself of like, maybe this isn't labor and I'm just pretending all these sounds and like pretending this is happening. And I got in the bath and then my friend showed up and she showed up and I was like, yeah, I don't know. Like maybe it's not, maybe you'll have to go home still. Who knows? Like this could just stop. You never know. Yeah. And she's like, okay. So yeah, we just kind of talked for a little bit and my partner was there and I sent them to go like, cut up some fruit, some pineapple.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know why I have a pineapple.
Was.
Yeah. And the last like kind of chattiness I remember having with my friend and partner was she had painted me this beautiful photo or picture and I was hanging it up in the bathroom somewhere. And I was like, where do you think I should hang this picture? Like, should I put it here or there? And I was in the bath and she was kind of like holding them up on the wall. Mm. And then all of a sudden I just like disappeared again. And I didn't come back this time. She was like, she described it as like, she was just holding them up and she like looked back. She's like, oh, okay. All right. I guess I'll put these down. Coming back this time. Oh yeah. That was kind of like, but definitely the start of like active labor in the bath. I was not really popping back to converse anymore. I don't really know what time that was at, maybe like 11-ish or so. Yeah, so it was a while. It felt like ages and ages of being in that kind of space. I did not know like what time it was or how long it had been. I felt like it was hours and hours. And the weird thing too that I was a little bit mad about was that it was sunny outside and it was bright.
Oh and yeah,
lines like freaking sun. So about an hour later, it had gotten cloudy. So I thought it was like dark time and like evening time. And I looked at them, I was like, sorry, this is taking so long, you guys. Julia was like, you 1 hour. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess that's fine. Yeah, and they were really sweet. Like, they were quiet. I was able to just move. I was mostly on, like, kneeling position, like, leaning over the tub. It felt really weird. I felt like I could almost control, like, when the contraction would start, kind of, because every time I sort of leaned back onto my heels, it would put that pressure on and, like, really make things start. So I, yeah, it was a bit of a, like, push and pull between, like, oh, I want this to, like, ease off a little bit. So I'd, like, get up and then, like, lean back down and be like, no, I really want this to happen. Like, let's do this. Like, so it was weird feeling like I could make it more intense or not with that. It was cool, though, because I could picture what was going on. Like, I knew, like, the head, or I didn't know it was a head exactly. Like, who knows? They flip around all the time. But the last appointment I'd had, you know, he was head down. And yeah, so eventually more of that. And my water finally broke, which also surprised me for some reason, because it was a very big, like, explosion. And I was like, what was that?
You had a filmic gush.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I had to ask for some reason. It was surprising. Yeah. I knew what it was. Yeah. And then, like, I sort of looked down and there was like little red bits, and Julia was like, oh yeah, just, like, you know, a little bit of bloody show, mucus plug. She was super chill. And my partner was too. They both, like, I couldn't really tell where they were. They were both there, and they both were, like, rubbing my back sometimes, just, like, putting cold cloths on me, which was great. Yeah. And then I started kind of giving little grunts at the top of each contraction that I felt, just because I was curious about what it would do. So, like, I didn't feel like I had the ejection reflex yet, but I just wanted to, like, test that out and see if it would make much difference. So I kind of just started that, and then I kind of just went with it. It just kind of got a little bit more and more each time, and then the reflex kicked in. Like, oh, okay, longer in control of this. And yeah, I could feel it moving down. It was, I think, like, a little bit after my water broke, I, like, reached in to see if I could, you know, tell where the baby was. And I did say, I was like, oh, I can feel him. But, well, I didn't know it was a him. I was like, I could feel something. It's really far up there, though. But it wasn't. Yeah. Felt really far up there, but it really also wasn't. And then I was like, oh yeah, I remember this feel. I was like, oh yeah, this is a scary feeling. I forgot about this feeling of, like, the this, you know, happening.
Yeah.
Widening and something coming down through your bones is pretty intense.
Yeah.
I was like, right. That was scary, but it's fine. And yeah, sort of his head came out. I did the same, like, you know, touching there and, like, kind of panting when I felt I needed to. So it was fast, but also not crazy fast. It wasn't just, like, a big burst. Yeah. And then I sort of, oh yeah. And Julia had told me before, she's like, if you want, just a reminder, if you want him, you want them in the water, you got to kind of, like, put your butt in the water. So you're kind of in the water right now. I was like, oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. So I kind of, like, leaned back, and yeah, his head was out, and I don't know. It was, like, a little while, maybe, like, 30 seconds to a minute, and then the rest of him just, like, shot out right in front. I was imagining, like, when I was picturing my birth happening, I was like, oh, I'll just, like, hold him under the water for a second, look at him, and, like, look for a cord. And none of that happened. I was just like, poop, right up on my
head. Yeah.
I didn't even think about a cord. I don't know. I just wasn't in my mind. I didn't even feel like I needed to think about it. Julia told me after, she was like, how is kind of looking, but I could tell there was nothing around his neck, so it was fine. And yeah, I was just sort of, like, there and, like, patting him and, like, sort of leaning back, like, holy fuck. Did it, and it's over. But, like, yeah, it was really crazy. They were both so good. Like, Lyle's hand was on me. I didn't really know, but he was the one who took the video, and his hand was, like, on me the whole time. Like, they were both, like, you should have seen us, because, like, Lyle was, like, leaning back far enough,
but yeah,
his hand was still on me, and they were both, like, kind of leaning back with their like, but also trying to, like, reach for me a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so yeah, he was out, and we saw that he was another boy, which was really funny, because all of my friends have boys. There's one girl in the group of, like, 10 kids.
Oh, wow.
That we all had. Yeah. And then, yeah, we kind of just hung out there, took some photos, and I decided I was getting cool enough to, like, get out and kind of hop back over to the living room. and the placenta wasn't coming. I hadn't really tried to get it out in the bath. I wasn't really that concerned about it. Like, I didn't feel like I was really concerned about anything once the birth started happening. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. Like, usually there's like a fear or two that pop up, but I feel like I was kind of in it and not thinking about that at all.
So, yeah, it sounds like, well, you were just really in your instincts, I think, from what you've described. It was all just very, in a weird way, I have got this picture of you. It's almost like a little bit of your mind was just observing what was going on as well. Yes. It's like it was happening, but a little bit of you was almost like watching from an aerial view. I guess maybe because you said like it was that experience of like not having another authority there. So it's almost like a little bit of your head just wouldn't switch off. It's just like, but is it though? Maybe it's not. I don't know. We'll just wait and see kind of thing. But you were still really in it, you know, but you just had that tiny little bit.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. I'm glad you brought that up too, because I do feel like I was kind of like hovering somewhere here, like watching as well. It was really weird. Yeah, very different from the first one. And
what I found really interesting listening to you talk was how it seemed like you were kind of experimenting with your body. Mm. Like, well, what happens if I do this? What about that? And I love that. I really love it, because, you know, how often do you get that space if you've got somebody there with your perceived authority saying, telling you what to do, or even just being there? You know, you don't necessarily have that confidence to go, oh, what if I just push this bit, or, you know,
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, so true. It was very interesting. Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun time.
Yeah, it sounds really great. But so did the placenta took a little moment, did it then, by the sound of it?
Yeah, it did. It was a little bit different from the first. Like, I assumed it would just plop out nice and easy, but I think maybe, I don't really know what was going on in my head. I was happy that it was over. I knew I still had to do that part, but I wasn't concerned about how long it would take. But at the same time, I was like, okay, I'm kind of ready for this to get out. Cause I did have those after cramps, and they were pretty strong. They were pretty shitty. I kind of shuffled over to our living room and the couch and sat down, and I was like, no, I need to like get this placenta out before I relax. So the one thing I actually bought in preparation for this pre-birth was I went to the dollar store and I got a plastic salad bowl for the placenta, because I was like, what if I have it in the water and then I'm gonna have one of those like placenta floating pictures, but all I have are like ceramic bowls.
That's a good point, actually.
So I was like, bring me the placenta bowl, and I kind of just like squatted. I was holding him to my chest, and I like kind of squatted down on top of it, and I like pushed and also like pulled just a tiny bit. Like, I remember one of the courses I did take, it wasn't a paid, I guess it was a paid course. It was a pay by donation type course from Indie Birth. And it's a 13 Moons course. And they talk about the placenta birth part. And I remember her saying, like, don't pull on it harder than it is, than you like pull on the end of your nose before it comes. Like, you don't want to grasp it super hard, but like gently pull on the end of your nose and like before it like comes off. That's sort of how hard you want to tug. So I kept that in mind, and I was like, okay, I'm going to just like try this again, like experimenting a little bit, like putting a little bit of traction and like pushing. And yeah, then it came out. There was like a little bit of membrane trailing, but I wasn't really concerned about it. I kind of just like pulled it out as well and plopped it into the bowl and felt fine. I went back onto the couch and was like, okay, now I can relax a little bit. And at the point where like before I was pushing, before I was in like super active labor and had disappeared from the world, my partner was like, do you want me to call like your mom to bring Yev back? My first son's name is Yev Sai. We call him Yev. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know. And then I just like was gone. He was like, let's just not.
We'll just
what's going on here.
Yeah.
And that was a good call, I think, because it probably would have been pretty distracting having them come in or like Yev run in and be like, wow, you're so loud, like there's a lot of blood, cool. There wasn't blood at that point, but they came by like maybe an hour after he was born. They didn't know that he was born yet, though. Lyle had just told, like, my mom had asked how it was going, and Lyle just sent her like a thumbs up. That's what she had. And then he was like, okay, you guys can come over now. She had Yev like playing at a park or something. So they came over, and like Yev rushed over. He's like, oh, I didn't know you were having the baby today.
Yeah.
Aww.
Me either, but here we are.
Yeah.
so cute. He loved him. He really wanted a sister, but okay, we accidentally got a baby brother. That's what he says. But he loved him so much. He just wanted to like touch him and hold him. And it was really sweet having that time afterward. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And then I hadn't done actually very much research about the vitamin K shot and everything. I still hadn't like delved super deep into that part of things. I had gotten some oral vitamin K to give him, thinking like that would be a thing that we could do if I didn't want the midwife to come over afterwards for a while. But I totally forgot to, you know, do the first dose within I think it's like a couple hours or something. I can't remember how many hours you have to give them the first dose, but I totally forgot. So I was like, well, I guess I can call them and like ask them to come over and give him the shot. Anyways, she did. So my mom and her were both there, and she checked him over and asked how it went. And it was great. She was great about it.
Was it a good response? Yeah. So it was okay. Yeah. Was it the fact that you did that with no one there? You didn't get any grief?
No. No, weird, right? Like,
yeah,
again,
yeah, really,
like,
weird.
Really weird.
Maybe people just weren't saying it to my face, like maybe. Yeah. Thank you, people. But I don't know. No one was outright telling me anything. Oh, actually, I should reverse that a little bit and back up, because during my care in midwifery, like when, like maybe like halfway through, maybe a little more than halfway, I did get a call from my family doctor, which was super weird, because I hadn't, like, my midwife had not asked me if she could like talk to other doctors about it or anything. Like, and it's also, it's hard because like this town is so small and everybody knows everybody, and like kind of all the outdoorsy people know each other, and that's sort of all who we all are. So we kind of know each other outside of this whole realm. So I know my doctor, it's really great. Great guy, which was really helpful. So he called and I was like, what's going on? He's like, oh yeah, I just, you know, Liz, the midwife, she told me about like how you're planning, like, you know, to birth at home unassisted. And I just thought I'd ask you some questions and like, blah, blah, blah. So he's very respectful, which was very nice. And, but it was very weird. I was like, what the fuck? Why does this even concern you, my family doctor? Mm. No, like how? And then she didn't bring it up with me at our next appointment. I had to ask her, and I was like, so my family doctor called, like, what was that about? Like, why were you talking about it with him? Like, was it outside of work, or was it like, she was like, oh yeah, well, I just thought it would be a good thing for him to know. And, you know, I sort of talked with the, I guess they have to tell like the hospital when people are planning free births and stuff, which is fine. But yeah, it was weird. It was a weird thing, but he was respectful. He was asking like what could be different about the hospital if I, like, what could make me choose to birth there? And I was basically like, well, nothing, but if I was really, really, really had to, like, I wouldn't want anyone else in there. I would want a bath. I would want basically like the same environment, being alone, but just there. So like, why would I even be there?
Yeah.
Did you feel like it was a procedural thing that he had to do, or did you feel like it was more of a personal, like he was a bit maybe concerned about your choices, or was it just like standard procedure?
I think it was more of a personal call, actually. Like, I think because we slightly know each other, I don't feel like he was just calling to like, yeah, check boxes or anything. Like, I think he was genuinely curious, and I don't know about concerned. He didn't seem like he was concerned. There was no like coercion or anything like that either, which was
cool.
Like, yeah, it was the call caught me off guard, and I felt like I maybe got my back up just a tiny bit, but then we started talking and I was like, I can relax, because obviously I'm not changing my choice anyways. So we can talk about whatever. He's not trying to like throw dead baby fear tactics at me. So we can have a nice conversation. Yeah. So yeah, again, it was a weird thing, but also surprisingly good. I did bring it up with her, and I told her I wasn't that happy, and she kind of apologized, but it was also kind of just like, it's fine. Yeah. So that was one weird thing. But other than that, it was like, I was also pretty open to everybody as well about having a free birth. I think because
that's cool.
I feel like I am maybe perceived as this very a bit fiery outwards type person to like what are you gonna do about it? Like, come on,
yeah.
Like, challenge me. Like, I'm doing this. What do you think? Like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like maybe that's how I come off. I don't feel like that's really how I am, but
yeah.
And nobody really gave me any grief about planning that. They were all, I think maybe because I was a doula and I'd been around birth, maybe they were like, oh, you know what you're doing and blah, blah, blah. And not everybody knows the distinction between a midwife and a doula and all that stuff either. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It wasn't until like maybe a month or two after my birth that my brother's girlfriend told me that my dad and her dad had a conversation that he was telling her dad about how he was worried about me.
Oh, right.
Okay, well, good to know, I guess, but I it's funny, but no one ever really told me in my face. So.
Kind of nice they didn't bring that fear on you, you know, they were kind of maybe had their own thoughts and stuff, but yeah, it's nice they didn't really kind of put it to you to like have to convince them or have to sort of convert them into thinking that that was okay, and they were just leaving you to it, really, so that's...
Totally. And I feel like maybe part of it is, yeah, that convert them, like, maybe part of it would be, like, they just didn't want me to start going off about birth.
No, all don't start the conversation. You'll be there like, hours. What? Yeah.
No, let's just move on now. Like, because this.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, because you're already in the birth world. So I feel like anyone around you, they only have to say the word baby. You're like, well, I've got something to tell you. And they're there hours later.
Yeah. And I think because I was still, you know, Instagram was a huge part of, that sounds so weird to say, but you know, people's amazing information they put out there for free and offer on Instagram. I was spreading that around on my personal Instagram page. So my aunts and uncles and grandparents would flip through my stories and it would be like birth here, vagina there, baby. Like, they already had a taste of that. And they were like, well, yeah, I don't actually want to talk.
She'll show me one of those videos again.
Yeah. So, it was funny.
I wanted to talk about your Instagram, actually, because I love your account. I love the stuff that you post. I love your vibe. And I just find it really interesting reading all your content. And it seems like, you know, the thing that's actually struck me very early on about your account was, you know, your visuals and all of the water and obviously your name. And then listening to your stories, this theme of water seems to be really strong. And yeah, just what... Yeah, is that a thing for you? It sounds like water's a thing.
Water is kind of a thing. I do love it. I mean, we live, this town is coastal, so there's like 32 lakes surrounding us and then ocean like all the time. So yeah, I've definitely always grown up near ocean and water and everything. And then, yeah, I guess I'm a lifeguard. So I swim sometimes in the pool. I don't swim in the pool that often, but yeah, I don't know. I definitely do feel more calm when I'm around the ocean in the water and stuff like that. Like it's definitely, yeah, I would say it is a bit of a theme. And I didn't really, you know, I hadn't planned to name my Instagram that at first. At first it was, I think it was Radical Birth Rages because I was just, you know, I was feeling really ragey. And then I was like, this is a little too intense. I think you need to just like reel it back a little bit. So I had a few names like written out and my friends kind of helped me. Like I was like getting their cool kind of, and they all were like, this one feels like it suits you a little better. So it was kind of cool. Yeah. Just kind of happened organically.
plug it again because people are going to want to know. Are you?
Take Your Birth by Storm.
Take Your Birth by Storm. I do love your account, and it's quite a kind of restful one to hang out on because every single one of your posts has got a beautiful backdrop of the sea in some way. And then I find myself every time I kind of see an account or a really nice image of the sea, I keep sending you like pictures of like,
I know.
Here's this picture of the sea.
I love it. I love it so much. Anytime.
Oh, God. But not really like that. But yeah, but still at the same time, I think sea's kind of a really lovely analogy with birth because there's that kind of, well, you know, we often use the word wave, don't we, for like contraction, things like that. But, you know, there can be this kind of rage going on somewhere and it can be really epic. And actually, like, you know, a storm at sea and stuff, that can be really like huge, but also it can be really serene and calm and peaceful and look like there's not much going on, you know. But so, yeah, like the whole kind of link between sea and birth, I think is really good.
That's really true. Yeah, I like that. I didn't really think about that whole, like, you know, there can be a storm somewhere and really calm somewhere else. And that's just sort of how it moves between birth too. Like, you're storming and then you're calm and then you're in it again. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I mean, how is it, how's this experience changed you in terms of kind of how you support women now? Like, are you still working as a doula? How are you kind of, what do you feel like your place in the birth world is since having that experience? Because it surely, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I feel like it would have probably impacted you quite heavily.
Yeah, that's a really good question to ask. Yeah, and it really has. It really has. I think aside from, you know, having a new baby and that reason for not being able to attend births, aside from that logic reason, I feel like I don't really feel like I want to be in people's birth spaces anymore, you know, like from what I've, yeah, like I do, like I recognize like the it's good, it's important to be able to have that, like, someone there who's like this wise woman who knows birth, like physiology of it, and knows, like, you know, the psychological, physiological part of it. And I think that is a really, really great thing to be able to have access to. And I'm not like saying I'm that person, because I'm always learning. I'm never going to be like done and at the top or anything like that. But like, I don't know. I have a really, really good friend who is planning a free birth right now, actually. And she, funny story, I'll make it quick, but she was my last client who was booked with the prior midwife who stopped her practice. And she ended up, you know, being sort of tossed around, went to the hospital, induction, C-section, separation from baby, all those things that happened. And I was there with her for that. And yeah, so she is now planning a rebirth after cesarean. She's very, like, yeah, I've sort of like put her on to all the stories, all the things that she can do. And at first she was like, you know, I think, like, it was a surprise pregnancy, and she's like, okay, well, you'll be there, right? Like, you'll be there and we'll have you and we can do it. And I was like, well, we should talk about this, because I don't like, first of all, like, I can't really just be there because of the kids and schedule and stuff like that. But also, like, I think that, yeah, I don't want to be depended on for anything, really, because that kind of takes the power away from the woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like, that, I don't want to be anyone's, like, safety net type, the illusion of safety type thing. I don't want any part in that. I want it to be, like, if I'm there, I'm going to be showing up as, you know, a support to kind of help you keep referring back to yourself. I'm not there as like a, I'm going to step in and help thing.
Well, you're not a replacement midwife, you know, that's the thing. And it sounds a bit like, with that kind of asking of, like, you're going to be there, aren't you? And it really feels, you know, that brings up for me, like, she needs you, or there's that kind of reliance. And I think maybe that's something that can be worked on sometimes, or explored, or whatever else. But yeah, I think it's tough to feel like someone's necessity for their birth, because that's a lot of pressure.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. Exactly. That too. I totally agree. Like, that pressure, it's just, yeah, it's needs, you know, I would take, you know, 100% responsibility for myself, not over that, not under, but not over that either. And I think, looking back, I was trying to take more than 100% in my past doula jobs. Like, you know, you still think you're going in to, like, help them some way more than you physically can or mentally can. Like, there's a point, like, you have to realize the boundary you can't go beyond and shouldn't be willing to go beyond, because you can't go beyond it anyways. Like, you can't save someone from their birth or from their choices.
Oh God, what a beautiful two stories, really. Like, this has just been like a kind of two for one.
Yeah, like
episode.
Double whammy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I took up a bunch of your time.
But, oh no, not at all.
Perfect.
Okay.
This is what I want to do of an evening now. This is my life.
Yeah, can we do this every week?
Yeah, this is my going out now. You know, I should get more dressed up for this. Too. Yes.
No, it's so good being able to actually chat with you guys. I mean, I did most of for the talking. It's fun. You've popped my podcast cherry, so.
Oh, no way. This is your first one.
Amazing.
Oh, what an honor.
What an honor.
Yes.
Yeah. Really honored. It's a gross way to say it, but you know what I mean. It's really cool to be able to do this with you guys. It's really fun.
Thank you so much
for giving your time.
Yes.
Thanks for coming on. Thanks for sharing your story. And we will put links in our notes and everything to your beautiful page. Any photos or anything you want to share with us, we will put that up as well so people can see and get to know you online and start following you too and reading your beautiful, beautiful posts.
Well, thank you so much, you guys. I hope you have a beautiful night. And thank you so much for having this podcast out there. I think it's doing so, so, so much good. I love it.
If you have enjoyed listening to these stories, we'd love to hear from you. Take a screenshot, share your thoughts. We'd love to hear how you found these amazing stories. You can tag us, tag our Instagram accounts, share with your friends, get in touch. We'd love to hear from you.
If you're preparing for a free birth and are looking for support, you can contact Leonie and I directly. Visit our Instagram pages for up-to-date information of our available courses and how you can book a private one-to-one session. You can find Leonie at birthwise.withleonie and me, Victoria, at free2birth. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you're subscribed so you never miss an episode.